We begin in Chatham County, where a Cary man has been charged in connection with the overdose death of a Chapel Hill resident 1 year ago today. 41-year-old Alan David Wendell is charged with felony death by distribution. He's the second person in Chatham County to be arrested under the state's 2019 Death by Distribution Act, which targets those who sell substances to buyers who later overdose from those substances. The victim in this case has not been publicly named, but they were 55 years old, and they had heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl in their system when they died. As it happens, today is International Overdose Awareness Day, and UNC and Orange County are teaming up for an all-day event at Peace and Justice Plaza in downtown Chapel Hill. There will be speakers from 5 to 6 p.m. specifically, but officials will be there all day, giving out naloxone kits and other life-saving materials, plus connecting residents to helpful community resources. Other health news, we're also continuing to see a rise in monkeypox cases around the state, now affecting women as well as men. Two Wake County women caught the virus last week. A vaccine does exist, though eligibility is still limited, and officials are urging everyone to get vaccinated if you're eligible. 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward has more.
The first case in Orange County was identified on August 17th. Monkeypox can spread through close, often skin-to-skin contact. Symptoms of monkeypox include a rash that, according to the CDC, can initially look like pimples or blisters and may be painful or itchy. Other symptoms include fever, chills, swollen lymph nodes, and exhaustion. One UNC senior recently received his monkeypox vaccine. Shane Hostetler got vaccinated at UNC's infectious disease clinic last week.
I am currently also on PrEP, which is another preventative just for the sort of other diseases. And when I went in just to get checkup or whatever at one of UNC's clinics, they were just like, are you interested in getting the monkeypox vaccine? And provided me with a pamphlet and some materials on how it's spreading and like how many cases there are in Orange County and what it would do for me. And then they just offered it as part of my checkup. And when they were going to get my blood work, they just offered it. And I said that yes, that I was interested.
Hostetler said he experienced no side effects after the shot and that it was one of the easiest vaccines he's ever gotten.
I just got it and left and it was no big deal. And I didn't have any soreness or anything at all.
Hostetler urges everyone to take what measures they can to protect themselves and others from monkeypox. Damon Siles is doing the same. The Carborough mayor received his monkeypox vaccine in Durham County just a few weeks ago. In a recent conversation with 97.9 The Hill, Siles says he wants to open up conversations about the virus.
Monkeypox virus is something that is increasing in its prevalence, not just here in North Carolina, but around the country. There are outbreaks all over.
Siles added, in North Carolina, there are disparities in where the virus is spreading, as well as who is able to access vaccines. He noted, however, the state expanded their eligibility criteria for the vaccine to reduce this divide.
First of all, anyone who's been exposed in the past 2 weeks to someone who has monkeypox diagnosed should get vaccinated. It's very important. But also gay men, bisexual men, and transgender individuals who in the past 90 days have had more than one sex partner or who have been receiving PrEP or pre-exposure prophylaxis for HIV prevention, which is pretty common in the gay male community in particular, should look into getting vaccinated as well.
Siles emphasized another inequity in vaccine trends across North Carolina.
Although about 70% of the cases in North Carolina have been among black men, only about a quarter or so of the people who have gotten vaccinated are black men. And so we really need to spread the word, make sure we're talking to our community partners about access to vaccines.
Siles said the state is struggling to meet overall demand with a limited number of vaccines. He added this means before expansion of the eligibility criteria can occur, vaccinating the most vulnerable and high-risk groups is crucial. Hostetler said he's cautiously optimistic about the potential for a monkeypox outbreak to occur on UNC's campus.
I am nervous as a college student that it's going to spread across campus, especially at like close party events and stuff like that. But I'm hoping that because we're starting early and they're already giving out the vaccines that we can stop the spread. Definitely go get vaccinated. Get your friends vaccinated. You don't want to be out of commission for 3 weeks.
If eligible, you can contact the Orange County Health Department to find a location near you to receive the vaccine. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
In Raleigh, oral arguments today at the state Supreme Court in the long-running Leandro case over the state's constitutional obligation to provide all kids with access to a sound basic education. Multiple courts have ruled over 25-plus years that the state has failed to meet that obligation. Now the state Supreme Court has to decide whether a trial judge was within his authority to order state officials to transfer billions of dollars to address the shortfall. Republican lawmakers say only they have the authority to do that, though they have not fully done so yet. Also in the courts, a lawsuit filed this week by a former NC State men's soccer player alleging sexual abuse by the university's former director of sports medicine. Benjamin Locke is speaking out publicly about his alleged treatment at the hands of Robert Murphy Jr. between 2015 and 2017. An attorney for Murphy says the doctor did nothing of a sexual nature during any treatments. Direct quote there. And more trouble this week for Greg Lindberg, the insurance magnate who was convicted in 2020 of attempting to bribe the state's insurance commissioner. That conviction was thrown out on a technicality, and he has a new criminal trial set for next March. In the meantime, though, he may also be headed to civil court as well. The Federal Securities and Exchange Commission has filed a civil complaint against Lindberg and his associates, accusing them of defrauding clients out of over $75 million. The government wants them to give up that money plus interest. We're also just a couple of months out from the midterm election, very closely watched across the state and the U.S. Midterm elections tend to be bad for the president's party, and Republicans were polling well until recently. But with gas prices on the way down and anger over the Supreme Court's abortion decision on the way up, new polls are suggesting this may be a more even year. I spoke with public policy polling director Tom Jensen, who says this election is starting to remind him a lot of the last one.
Really, the political climate now is starting to look like 2020. For most of the year, it looks like we were heading for a political climate that was something really similar to 2010, which was Barack Obama's first midterm as president. He was unpopular. Democrats got completely wiped out in the House and in state legislatures across the country. For most of the last year and a half, it looks like that was what we were heading for. And now more and more, what we're seeing in our polling and what we're seeing in these special elections is starting to look more and more like 2020, which definitely is a pretty big surprise. And I think means we're headed for a very unusual sort of midterm cycle. But one thing I think to be clear on when I say that it looks like a 2020 election, there were actually a lot of things in 2020 that weren't that good for Democrats, even though they kept control of the House. They lost a fair number of House seats. In a lot of key state legislatures across the country, Democrats were expecting to pick up majorities and then ended up actually losing seats and that sort of thing. So 2020, even though Democrats won the big stuff, was actually, I would assess it as a relatively neutral political climate. And I think that's sort of what we're in now. But if you would have told Democrats at any time earlier in the cycle that they could have a neutral sort of political climate for this year rather than a political climate that was extremely slanted towards Republicans, certainly an outcome they would have taken.
That's Tom Jensen there. You can get the full conversation in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. Other news, Governor Roy Cooper is scheduled to be in Mebane at noon today, making what his office calls a major broadband investment announcement. Direct quote there, too. And in Pittsboro, the town board is holding a special meeting at 10 o'clock this morning in town hall. Board members will consider the hiring of an interim town manager to replace Chris Kennedy, who announced plans to step down earlier this month. It's time for sports, brought to this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. Another day, another award for Tar Heel field hockey star Aaron Mattson, just named ACC Offensive Player of the Week after scoring a pair of goals in UNC's two wins over the weekend, including the overtime game winner against fifth-ranked Iowa. Mattson writes a weekly Notes from the Field column on our website, chapelboro.com. You can head there today and read her latest, a look back at the team's weekend in Winston-Salem. The Tar Heels are back home this weekend, hosting Princeton and Penn in the ACC Ivy Conference crossover. Louisville also in town. Elsewhere in UNC sports, a promotion for Tar Heel assistant men's golf coach Matt Clark. He's just been named associate head coach. Clark got nominated this week for a National Assistant Coach of the Year award. He's one of just six nominees nationwide. And some exciting news for UNC men's basketball. After a two-year break during the pandemic, the Tar Heels will field a junior varsity team this year for the first time in three seasons. Jack Emanuel will serve as the team's head coach. That'll be his first head coach coaching gig at any level. College sports are ramping up for the fall, and athletes are working to adjust not just to the new season, but also to the new landscape in the NIL era. New rules allow players to profit off their name, image, and likeness. That's the NIL. But with no established structure for how to do it, it's been a bit of a free-for-all so far. At Carolina, a new group called Heels for Life is stepping in to offer help for football players, specifically coordinating NIL deals and responsibilities. Executive Director of Heels for Life is Graham Boone. He spoke about it with 97.9 The Hill.
While we are a private collective supporting the UNC football team, an easy way to think about it is another pillar of supporting the players and student athletes at Carolina. So while you have the Boosters Club, the athletic department, the university academic system, we are another operation just privately that's taking advantage of the new legislation that allows us to support the players from both a financial perspective, from a professional opportunity perspective, giving them opportunities for internships, mentoring programs, charitable initiatives. So Heels for Life is going to be really lockstep with Mac Brown and the coaching staff and the players to make sure that we are giving them every chance they can be successful on and off the field. So we'll be helping negotiate marketing deals for the players. We'll be helping work on charitable initiatives that are close to their heart, providing them with some real life experience, because a lot of people don't know what student athletes weren't allowed to do from NCAA regulations even up to a year ago. They can't do a study abroad. They don't have time to get a job on Franklin if they'd like to, you know, make some extra money. So now with NIL allowing some more freedom, we decided to start a collective that really provided them all the maximization tools they needed to be successful.
That's Graham Boone there from Heels for Life. In tennis, the U.S. Open continues in New York City, and men's singles former Tar Heel Rinky Hijikata took the first set but ultimately lost in four sets to Rafael Nadal in the first round. Today, incoming UNC freshman Reese Brantmeyer takes the court in women's doubles. She is only 17, but this is already her third U.S. Open. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls are down in Charlotte this week for a road series against the Knights. Last night's season opener got a series opener rather got rained out, but they're set to take the field tonight at 6:30.